Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast. You've tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You've tuned me in by the way of Ionia, I-1430 AM, or 92.7 FM, or 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. That's in the Lowell area, and I welcome all of you folks to our broadcast this morning. You've tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both the Greenville and the Ionia stations are streaming live by the way of the web, and that's something very special. Some of you tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I also want to invite you, appreciate those of you that's tuned me in by the way of my website. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. Bring your mouse up over where it says Messages from the Lighthouse. Current media will show up. Click on Current Media, and it'll take you right to the broadcast this morning. Whatever way you tuned me in, I'm just so glad to have you be a part of my broadcast this morning and me be a part of your life in a very special way. Our message this morning is God has done it before. He can do it again. He can rebuild the broken down walls of your life and my life. And we're going to study when he did that in the Old Testament time. So I'm just glad that you're a part of it, to be a broadcast with us. I need to say thank you to those that help sponsor the financial part of what is entailed in bringing the program to you. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. She lives in Orleans. A big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area. They've been supporters for a long time. A big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond from the building area and to Shiloh Community Church. And I want to give you a special invitation to attend the services there. At Shiloh, our services at the church there begin on Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And at the Greenville campus, located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Groveland and Ray Street, Sunday morning at 11. We're kind of excited out to Shiloh. We're going to have one service. It's going to include both the Greenville and the Shiloh campus next week. That service is going to start at 10 o'clock. We have a new candidate that's coming to be our senior pastor, and so we're going to get to hear him preach and get to get a little bit acquainted with him. So it's going to be a very special time. But I need to let you know the services all are changed. No Saturday night service next week, and no service in Greenville next week. The services will all be at Shiloh at 10 o'clock to meet the new candidate that we have for being a pastor. I need to say thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting the music for this morning. And she's not only done it this morning. I came home yesterday, and my music was there for April. So we're just plugging along. Each one of us, I try to get ahead of her, and then she catches up. And so I got to get the month of May and June ready for her so I can be in lead there, so to speak. Well, I'm so glad you joined me. I'm coming to you from the Lighthouse. Things are changing around Long Lake right now. This nice weather that we've been having. The lake is open on the other side. The lake has got some water showing on this side. The way it started out this year, I believe, maybe by the weekend, the entire lake would be open, be back to waves. And that 350-acre ice cube would be gone, and we'll be back to ready to enjoy the spring and the summer. Well, that'll be great. That'll be wonderful. We look forward to that as you live here at the lake. You want to see the waves, and that's just something that is very beautiful. Well, as we get started this morning, we got a message of song that I want to share with you to prepare our hearts and minds for our time together. And this is the idea of working on a building. You know, this is a little different song, comes across very kind of cute-like, but it's just going to talk about what we're talking about today, that there's got to be some working in your life and my life, and we need to realize that that's a good part of the things that we're building or rebuilding. And so we'll listen to this song, and then I'll be right back and share the message with you. Here we go. God bless you.
Well, I'm working on a building, it's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstain banner for my Lord. Well, I never get tired of working on the building. I'm going up to heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward. Well, I'm working on the building, it's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstain banner for my Lord. Well, I never get tired of working on the building. I'm going up to heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward. Well, I'm working on the building, it's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstain banner for my Lord. Well, I never get tired of working on the building. I'm going up to heaven, oh, yeah, to get my reward. I'm working on the building, it's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstain banner for my Lord. Well, I never get tired of working on a building. I'm going up to heaven, oh, Lord, I'm gonna get my reward.
Well, working on the building, it's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstain
banner for my Lord.
From working on a building
for my Lord,
I'm going to heaven for the Lord to get my reward.
I love that one thought. I'm working on a building, and I never get tired for working with my Lord. What a privilege it is to realize as we go through life, we can do some things down here on planet Earth that's going to count for eternity. God reminds us in His Word to set our treasures not just on these earthly things that one day we're all going to leave behind, but to set our treasures upon heavenly things that one day we will be able to, as is said in that song. He gives us a reward for what we've done. I personally believe what you can do with that reward then is just lay it at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Well, as we talk about this morning, I want the Lord to speak in our hearts. We're going to take a Old Testament time in the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah wanted to rebuild the walls that were destroyed in Jerusalem. And we're going to take that story that's given to us there in the book of Nehemiah. And we're going to learn some things about building in our own life and also about building into the lives of other people. God wants us to do that. So we'll do that in just a few moments. But first, I want to remember the listening audience in prayer. I want to come to God and ask Him to minister to you, each one of you that's tuned me in. You've got some special needs today. And whatever that special need is, whether I mention it or not, that's what I'm praying about this morning for your need. That special need that you have in your life, that God would be pleased to meet you at the point of your need. He's done it before. He can do it again. And He wants to do it for you. Let's bow together. Dear Father, what a beautiful time it is right now when I'm over here to the lighthouse putting this service together. Father, it's beautiful to see some water on the other side of the lake. It's beautiful to see that one of these days, probably before this week is over, the ice cube will be all gone. It'll be all back to beautiful waves once again. And we're reminded that it's another season of time. And we don't know for sure if the winter's all over or not, but Father, we sure have enjoyed these last days that you've given us to get rid of the ice and the snow. Now, Father, I'm coming to you once again in behalf of the listening audience. I'm not doing it, Father, just because it's the time to do it in my broadcast. I want to do it because I'm concerned, and I want to lift this listening audience up to you. Each one of us have different needs, different things that we went through this past week. Some of it's been very heavy. Some of it's been very hard. Some of it's been a blessing. So, Father, rather it's a thing of encouragement, I just pray you would bless each individual that has their radio on today or listening to this broadcast time, that you would meet whatever their need is. Some of it might be physical. Some of it might be spiritual. Some of it might be family-oriented. Some of it might be the fact of financial or their workplace. Some of it might be just the fact that they're in a nursing home or a foster care home and they just can't do all the things they used to be able to do and they're really discouraged today. Father, I want to pray for the older ones. This old age thing, Father, gives us so many pains and difficulties. I just want to pray for the older sheep of the flock, so to speak, this morning, that you would meet their needs according to your will. Now, Father, go with us. Help my voice to stick out through the service and just give us a special time together. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, my voice has given me quite a lot of trouble for quite a long time, but it just seems to be something to do with the difficulties of the change of weather and so on, I guess. But I do see a doctor this week, and so we're going to find out maybe a little more what it might be. God has done it before. He can do it again. He's rebuilt broken down walls. The temple was rebuilt. I might come back to this thought sometime this summer about God's done it before. He can do it again. Because I always like looking at those kinds of things. Because in God's word, he's trying to teach us that in our individual life, he's done some things before. And he wants to do it again. And when we can look at that and remember that, it can help us to have some encouragement as to God's faith in us. When we can put into our reservoir, so to speak, or into our memory bank, that God's done something special for us, and we find ourselves in another circumstance, he's done it before, he can do it again. I was thinking what a blessed privilege the disciples had in their everyday life when they were walking with Jesus and learning about him and learning about the things that he was doing and all the miracles that he had performed and so on. And that was very special. They were walking with Jesus from one town to the next town, and he'd be teaching them as they walked along the way. They came to a town by the name of Capernaum one day. While Jesus was at home, when Jesus got into the home, he asked the disciples, he says, "What were you guys arguing about on the road?" And all of a sudden, there was silence. On the road, they had been arguing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. He sat down with them and called the 12 apostles to come to him. He told them, "Whoever wants to be the most important person must take the last place, and he must be servant to everyone else." That's different than what they were thinking. Then I love the way Jesus did it. He took a little child, and he had him stand among them. So this little child is standing among the disciples, and he puts his arm around the little child, and this is what he said. "Whoever welcomes a child like this in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me, my Father." That's recorded in the book of chapter 9. And God's trying to teach us a realization that sometimes, you know, you and I are thinking, well, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? Who's the most spiritual in your church? Or who's the most spiritual in your family? Well, to illustrate what we would want to remember that Jesus had done for us in the past, I love the disciples had seen Jesus feed two large groups of people with just a teeny little bit of food. So one of the large groups had about 5,000, the other had about 4,000. One day Jesus was going with the disciples, and here we see he's going to be teaching them, and that's what we're looking at this morning. We want him to teach us what he's done before. He can do again. And one day when he was going in the boat from one town to another town, Jesus sat down and he began to teach them again. He said to them, "Beware, be aware of the yeast of the Pharisees' teaching." He called their teachings yeast because he's saying, you know what? Their teachings is a lot about works. And just like yeast can get into the whole bread dough, their teachings could get into you. They thought Jesus was upset because they had forgotten to bring some bread on that trip. Jesus reminded them, "Weren't you there with me when we fed those two large groups of people?" "Oh," Jesus said, "ye of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves that ye have no bread? Do you still not understand? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000, 5,000, and how many baskets were gathered up afterwards? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, and how many baskets were gathered up afterwards?" Jesus is trying to let them know, I'm not concerned about the fact that you didn't bring lunch. I'm trying to get you to understand that you need to be careful when you listen to the teachings of the Pharisees. Because some of that teaching can get into your life and it'll work just like yeast. It'll go through the entire dough that is there to make bread. You know what God's saying to you and what he's saying to me? What he's done before in your life, God's faithfulness should give us courage for the present and should give us courage for the future or hope for the future. That's what God wants to do. That's why I like this phrase so much. He's done it before. He can do it again. Many times in my life, I just think about the things that God's done in the past. And that just encouraged me to realize God can do some things for me that he's done before. He can do it again. And I always love to take things in the Old Testament. The Bible teaches us in the New Testament that the entire Old Testament was written for our learning and for our comfort through the Scripture. It's a learning process. We can learn from everything that's in the Old Testament. And one time the nation of Israel had been disobedient to God, and he was carried off into captivity. Their city was destroyed. The city of Jerusalem, it was often called the city of God. And the walls had been broken down. And when talking about breaking down walls, those walls sometimes were wide enough that two chariots could ride right alongside each other on the wall. And so in this message this morning, I want to share with you from the book of Nehemiah. When this city of Jerusalem lay in destruction, it was in need of rebuilding. And I believe God put the book of Nehemiah in the Bible to show us how rebuilding the wall of this city can tell us how to rebuild our lives and how to rebuild the lives of our family, our church, or whatever else it might be. One of the first things that moved Nehemiah was that he had heard about the sad conditions of Jerusalem. One of his many brothers came to him and arrived with some other men from Judah. He asked him about the Jews who had survived the captivity and now are living in Jerusalem. Those who have survived the captivity, the friends told him, they are enduring serious trouble. Enduring serious trouble. They're even being insulted. This is the people of God. This is the people of God. Look how they live. The wall of Jerusalem had been broken down. The gates have been destroyed by fire. Nehemiah was a beautiful city, but the city was in ruin. The city was a mess. The person God wants to use to help rebuild must really have a burden to rebuild. And you know, folks, that's what it takes. When you have to rebuild something all over again, that's pretty hard. So Nehemiah said, "When I heard this, I sat down and I cried, and I mourned for days. I continued to fast and pray for the God of heaven. I said, Lord of heaven, great and awe-inspiring God, who's faithful to keep your promises and to show your mercies to those who love you and obey your commandments. Open your eyes, Lord, and pay close attention with your ears what I, your servant, am praying about. I'm praying to you today and by day and by night about the servants of Israel. I confess the sins of the Israelites they have committed against you, as well as the sins of my father, as well as the sins of myself. We have done you a great wrong. We have obeyed the command. We have not obeyed your commandments, laws, and regulations that you gave us to your servant Moses." I love the way Nehemiah comes before God. He confesses they had failed. The nation of Israel had failed. His family had failed. He himself had failed. I want to learn from this person the realization to become a rebuilder in your own life and the lives of others. You need to not blame God for what's going on in your life. I thank God he never blamed God. He said, "God, the problem is us. We've sinned against you. We've disobeyed you. The whole nation has disobeyed you. My family has disobeyed you. I have disobeyed you. God, we have done you a great wrong." That's a good place to start in rebuilding. God reminds us that he has a desire to rebuild, and he wants to rebuild in your life and my life when we've went astray, when we've disobeyed him. But he's reminding us that that's what he wanted to do for the nation of Israel as well. And so Nehemiah is first, I'm so pleased that he went to God and he shared with God the concern that he had for his hometown. God has done it before. He can do it again. Nehemiah's believing that the walls of his family, of the ancestry of his life, lay in ruin. And that's really bothering him. This man was an important man in the job that he had. He was the cupbearer to the king. He is responsible for making sure that nobody could poison the king's food or drink. Many times he had to taste it first, see if anything happened to him, then he could take it to the king. And he had a very important job. But he needed some time off if he's going to go do this, which he feels the Lord has laid upon his heart. So he prays again to God, "Would you help me when I go before the king? Would you help me that he would have some kindness towards me, that I might be able to do this ministry?" You know, I love it, folks. I always have. When in whatever type of work you're doing, it can become a ministry. It can give you opportunity to minister. I loved it when I delivered milk, house to house, in years gone by. Did that for about 12 years. Some of the homes, you took the milk right in the house and put it in the refrigerator. I need to tell you, one time I was delivering to Sheridan Hospital, and a nurse said to me, "When you get to my house, Ken, would you see what needs thrown away and make room for the milk?" I thought, I don't want to throw away your food. You know something, folks? That was pretty special. That's what helped me not to be afraid of people, is taking the milk into the houses and all that kind of thing that I did. I had to meet all kinds of people. And that workplace helped my ministry. It even helps my ministry today. You know, I was just the past few weeks, I've been doing two funerals a week. And you know, when I first started doing funerals, the funeral director would call and they'd say something like this to me. I had a family that's had a death, and they said they wanted the milkman to do the funeral. Are you the milkman? I say, yeah, I'm a pastor also, but I'm the milkman. You know, that's something that was very special. And after some time, they had bought some new wine for this here man, Nehemiah, to take to the king. And he took a cup of wine to the king. And he had never been sad in the presence of the king. The king asked him, "Why do you look so sad? You aren't sick, are you? You must be troubled about something." And then he said, "I was really afraid." "May the king live forever," I said to the king. "Why should I not look sad when the city, that place where my ancestors are buried, is in ruin and the gates have been burned down?" King says to him, "What do you want me to do?" "If it please your majesty, the king, would you be willing to grant me a request to let me go to Judah, to the city where the ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild the wall?" The king asked me, "How long will you be gone?" And when we came up with an idea how long I might be gone, he gave me permission to go. And we need to realize that was a special thing. That was a God thing. God had worked in the mind and heart of the king to say, "You can go do that." He now needs to do whatever he can do to get ready to go. And all of that, that's what exactly what he does. You know what he said? "I went to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days. During the night, I went out with just a few men, without telling anyone what my God had inspired me to do for Jerusalem. And I said, I just had my donkey, and I rode around and looked at the destruction." He had to survey it for himself. When he had seen the destruction for himself, then he told everyone, "You see the trouble we're in Jerusalem? Our city lays in ruins. The gates have all been burned down. God has laid it upon my heart to rebuild the city walls." And I love it what happened when he told them that. They all cried out to him, "Let's begin to rebuild." He became a lightning rod, so to speak. They were all encouraged one another to begin to do this work that they knew God would be pleased with. God does restore the broken. And he had in the past. And Nehemiah knew he was going to then. And because he did for Nehemiah, I can know he can do that for my life and for your life. And that's something that is very special for each and every one of us to get a hold of. And that's something that can make a difference in your life and in my life. I think it's so important to know that what Nehemiah did was the way that you and I have to start out as well. If we want to rebuild something in our life, if we want to rebuild something within our family, if we want to rebuild something within our church, even if we want to rebuild within our nation, I believe it has to start with us. And I believe it has to start with yours and my relationship with God. So I want to listen to a song, then I'll come back and finish the service. But this song is saying to us, he who began a good work will bring it to completion. And you know, that's one of the things that I love about God. You know, when my time comes to die, I'll have some unfinished projects. I've done funeral services for people that left unfinished projects. And probably without a doubt, you'll leave some unfinished project if you're an active person. But God will always finish everything that he started. And he wants us to know that. He wants us to believe that and to understand that. So I love this song, and we'll listen to it, and I'll be right back in just a few moments as we get the rest of the message that God has for us this morning. But he who began a good work in you is going to bring it to completion. And we'll find that to be true today. God bless you.
He who began
began a good work in you. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. If the struggle you're facing is slowly replacing your hope with despair, or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night, you can be sure that the Lord has His hand on you, safe and secure. He will never abandon you. You are His treasure, and He finds His pleasure in you.
He who began a good work in you started the work will be faithful to complete it in you.
He who began a good work in you
will be faithful to complete it.
He's going to finish the work He started, folks. He's going to make sure it gets completed. And God's going to do this for Nehemiah. He's there and He recognizes the disaster it is. And everything looks so terrible to him. But I'm glad he didn't blame God for the destruction. But he confessed the fact that they had been guilty of sin of disobedience. Now I want us to think about some of the lessons that we learn as we watch Nehemiah and the group of people of his time rebuild the walls. I love it that this person did not let the greatness of the project paralyze him. It's devastating, and he knew it was, and he knew it was going to be a hard job. Instead, he told others of his burden to rebuild that which has been destroyed. And they responded, like I mentioned a few moments ago, "Let us begin to build." So they encouraged one another. And they also kept saying to one another, "Begin this good work, this work that God will be well pleased in." You know, that's pretty serious business. And we know that it is. Rebuilding of any kind is hard. If you want to rebuild something in your life, it's hard. In my wife and I's period of time right now, we have two grandsons that live in Nashville, Tennessee. And you know that tremendous hurricane came through there. And it was close to our grandchildren's homes. And we've been able to see on TV the amount of destruction there is. But we cannot imagine in our minds and hearts the devastating of it. You need to be there to see it firsthand. And Nehemiah was. And he was overwhelmed by the project, but he was ready to do it. And we've heard testimony from people who were overwhelmed in Nashville about the project of even thinking about rebuilding. And yet, as in the days of Nehemiah, I have no doubt that many of them will. The first thing we need to know, whatever you want to rebuild in your life or in the lives of others, there'll be those who will say it can't be done. As it was in this story. When they decided that they were going to build, there were some outsiders who said, "What are you doing? Are you going to rebel against the king?" And Nehemiah had to say, "The God of heaven will give us success." The next thing they did is they got a lot of helpers and they started working together. And I love what it says. So we rebuilt the wall, which was rebuilt to about half its original height. The people worked with determination. I love that word, determination. That's what it takes. You want to change something in your life. You want to rebuild something in your life that you know is beneficial. It takes determination. This here walls of the city of Jerusalem, as big as the walls were, it's going to take some determination to build those walls. And besides, there's outsiders who are laughing at them and picking at them. What do you think you're going to be able to do? Those against the rebuilding project caused them many problems. And some of the people listened to that and they were just some discouraged workers. And they plotted how they might attack Jerusalem to create confusion, these ones that didn't want it to be built. And I love what Nehemiah said. Gives you an insight into his life. But we prayed to our God. And then we set guards to protect us by day and by night. Then the people of Judah said, "The work crews are worn out, and there's so much rubble." There was a little discouragement. We can't continue to rebuild the walls. You know what? That was just a momentary thing. May I say this? Sometimes when you're trying to do something in your life that you know will benefit your life, it's either to build something or rebuild something that used to be there. You're going to have times of discouragement. The rubble is going to be too high. The job seems almost impossible. Those against the rebuilding project, those things in your life, they'll try to discourage the workers. And they did. But you know what? The work crew, they might have been worn out. But I got to tell you, they was ready to give it all that they have. Now, I don't know if they had this verse at that time. I don't believe so. But this is a promise of God that I have today. A promise of God that you have today. Listen to what God says. It's in the book of Jeremiah. "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future." If that verse wasn't written at that time when Nehemiah was busy, I got to tell you, that's exactly what Nehemiah did. He's saying, God's in this, and God's going to finish the job. And we're going to do it, and it's going to be a beneficial thing for the future. It's not just to get by today or this week or this month. It's going to be beneficial. It's going to have something that's going to add to our lives and to the lives of our people. In this study of rebuilding the walls, that determination was something that was very special. And can I just say this too, because I believe it is true. When you have some determination of something that you want to see accomplished, and you try to get others involved in helping you to get it accomplished, when they begin to see your determination to rebuild, then also you need to realize that'll help them. It'll give them that sense of determination. One of the projects that we did as we was building the church and the gymnasium and all the campus that we have there at Shiloh, we had selected for our theme when we was going to put the gym up, and then later we'd be connecting the two buildings together. Just do it. Just do it is what we said. That's what we want to accomplish at Shiloh. We just want to do it. We want to build this gymnasium. And you know, we got the walls up, got about 3 rafters on the ceiling, up in the air, on the roof. And that night, a straight wind came through, and it knocked everything down. You know what my message was? Just do it again. Just do it again. And that's what we did. You know, it's interesting. I want to show you something that I think is why I have this confidence in God. What he's done before, he can do again. I remember having some conversation with the guys that was helping us with the building. They said, Pastor, we're going to have to get somebody to roof that building. I can't get up on something that high. I don't want to get up on something that high. And there wasn't many that was saying that they wanted to get up and shingle that building when we got it completed. You know, when it came down, with that straight wind, the insurance company came to us and they said, would you just soon rebuild it again? We'll pay you for doing it. Now, I think it made it better for the insurance company than having some big project, some big group come in to do it. And so we rebuilt it. Put the walls back up and put the rafters on. And then, you know, we sheeted it on the roof. And you know what, folks? That insurance company paid us enough money that we hired to have the shingles put on. I got to tell you, God moves in mysterious ways sometimes, his wonders to perform. And that's the same way it was here. Before they knew what was happening or seeing things, we will be right in the middle of them. That's what the people have discouraged and said, we're going to kill them and bring the work to an end. That is what the people who were against the project were saying. Jews who were living near our enemies warned us 10 times that our enemy would attack us from every direction. That is why we posted people there, families behind the wall. Wherever was the lowest and the most exposed, the people were armed with swords and spears and bows and looked them over and proceeded to tell nobles and leaders, the rest of the people, don't be afraid of our enemies. Remember how great and awesome the Lord is? Fight for your brothers and fight for your sons and fight for your daughters and your wives and your homes. When our enemies heard that we knew about their plot and what God had and how God had prevented their plans for being successful, we all went back to work, and the wall, on the wall, and each person did his or her job. Do you understand? God stepped in. God always steps in. I love the idea. Don't give up. It all went back to work on the project. Each person doing his own part. If you want to rebuild in your life and in the lives of others, your family, your church, your community, I believe too to be able to do this. We each must sign on for the long haul. It isn't something that's going to happen in a few minutes in your life. Down there in Nashville, it's not going to be rebuilt in a few moments. There's some cities down and further in Florida. We went to visit one city, Mexico Beach, that was destroyed with a tornado, and they don't have it rebuilt yet, but they are in the process. It takes a long time to redo that destruction that took place. And that was true of this city. They needed to sign on for the long haul. It takes a commitment to God and to this purpose of rebuilding the process. I love the commitment. They continued to work. They continued to do the job that they was doing. I love the way they did it, too. He said half of us had our spears out and waiting for the attack to come, and the other half was working. You know what? They each did the part that they had. There was a time when they was working with one hand and had a spear in another hand ready to defend whatever was going to happen. But I loved the way it was determined and the challenge that was given. Do this for your family. Do this for the future. Do this for God. And that God had the results. The end results in Nehemiah 6:15 is given to us. The wall was finished on the 25th day of the month. It took us 52 days to build the wall. That's a miracle thing. Took 52 days to build a wall. When all of our enemies heard about this, that wall was built around the city of Jerusalem. Remember, it was called the city of God. They all became afraid, and they all lost their self-confidence. They realized we had done this work with the help of God. They knew that that's the only way that could have been accomplished. They picked on him at first and said, "You think you're going to be able to do that?" They teased him about they were not going to be able to do that. They even tried to hinder it, but the hindrance just made him work all the harder. I'm wondering this morning, in your life and in my life, do we realize if we want to rebuild something into our life that's been there before, it's going to take a lot of determination. If you want to build something into your life to make you move forward like you've never done before, it's going to take some determination. Laziness is not the answer. Busyness and doing what you feel that God has called you to do. I love it when he said each one of them had done the work they knew how to do. Before I leave this, I want to do one more thing. I believe that what God has done before, he can do again. And he rebuilt, with the use of those people, the walls around the city of God. Now, that didn't mean it was over. I'm not going to take time to go into the rest of the book. But, you know, the rest of the book is put together about all the other things that had to be rebuilt again. They had homes to rebuild. They had the city itself to rebuild. They had the temple of God to rebuild. They had their own lives to rebuild. They found some of the things for worship and so on. It was a whole rebuilding project of their entire life. And that's what God is trying to say to you and I, that we need some things that's going to build us up and one another. There's a church in Thessalonica. I don't know how big this city was, but the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. And he's talking about building and rebuilding. I like what this says. Let me just read it for you. "Therefore, encourage each other and strengthen each one another, as you are doing." You know, that's what Nehemiah did. He encouraged others, and then they encouraged others, and they was just strengthening and encouraging one another. I love the way he says it. It's kind of the way Nehemiah said it. "To brothers and sisters, we ask you to show your appreciation for those leaders who worked among you and instructed you." Nehemiah said, "For our ancestors, let's rebuild this wall. This is their base place of rest. Let's rebuild their wall. We ask you to love them and to think very highly of them because of the work they're doing." And Paul was just saying, those spiritual leaders in the church, give them some respect for the things that they're trying to do. Others that's trying to make something grow, give them some respect. "We ask you to love and think about this. We encourage you, brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not living the right way." And that's what they did in Nehemiah's day. Instruct those. Don't get discouraged. We encourage you to do that, brothers and sisters. Cheer up those who are discouraged. Listen to this now, folks. One of the things that you can do as a rebuilder is cheer up those that are discouraged. Help the weak. And be patient with everyone. Give them time to grow and to develop. Make sure that no one pays back one wrong with another wrong. Instead, always try to do what is good for each other and everyone else. Now listen to the final line. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. What happens, give thanks. Because it is God's will in Christ Jesus that you do this. Paul is telling, you know what? Those things that you want to be built into your life, you need to recognize can be built into your life as you do these kinds of things. Life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is your gift to God. May I say that again? Life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is your gift to God. And God's saying, I want you to be a person that helps build up other people's lives. Jesus encouraged us to do that. I got a song I want us to listen to. And this song is saying to us, you know, that Jesus knows all about scars. Everything that Jesus went through, he went through to help us understand that he really cares and he wants to do something about it. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you.
You've always been there for everyone else. You've always been brave and strong. But lately I've noticed that your smile has faded, and I can tell something is wrong. I've heard the prayers of those who love you. I haven't forgotten your pain. So if you've been searching for someone to talk to, I promise that I can relate. 'Cause I've been broken, I've been betrayed. I felt rejected, I felt afraid. I've cried out to God, I don't know where you are. I know the pain you're going through, but I can more than promise you. I know what it takes to mend a broken heart. I've been right there where I know all about scars. Life can be filled with love and laughter. Its beauty surrounds us each day. I used to stand and stare at the sunset, and I used to watch children play. But I've known the pain of losing a close friend. I've heard angry words from my foes, and still I remember that cross on a hillside. So take it from someone who knows. I've been broken, I've been betrayed. I felt rejected, I felt afraid. I've cried out to God, I don't know where you are. Can more than promise you, I know what it takes to mend a broken heart. I've been right there where you are. I know all about scars and everything you're feeling now. I've been feeling too. When you're rejected, when you're afraid, when you cried, oh God, I don't know where you are.